The following is an episode of Father Daniel Mahon's series, A Tour of the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
As we continue our tour of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we are in part two that deals with the sacramental life of the Church, and we study now the sacrament which is at the very center of the life of the Church, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, a sacrament that is treated in great detail by the Catechism. In fact, we have a number of lessons on the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Though it is the third and final sacrament of initiation, we note that it is the only sacrament of initiation that is repeated. Baptism and confirmation are celebrated and conferred once in a person's lifetime, but the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist is that sacrament to which the Catholic returns time and time again to be nourished by the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that gift which is worth more than silver or gold. The sacrament is described as the completion of Christian initiation, the participation with the whole community in the Lord's own sacrifice by means of the Eucharist. And it is a very clear teaching of the Church that the Holy Eucharist is instituted by Christ and that He institutes this sacrament at the Last Supper to perpetuate the sacrifice of the cross throughout the ages until He should come again, and to entrust to the Church a memorial of His death and resurrection. The Catechism treats the Holy Eucharist under a number of titles, beginning with the title, the Eucharist as the source and summit of ecclesial life, the source, the font, and the summit, the high place of ecclesial life. The other six sacraments and the whole of the life of the Church are bound up with the Eucharist and oriented to it, for in the Eucharist is contained Christ Himself. The efficacious sign and sublime cause of that communion in the divine life and that unity of the people of God by which the Church is kept in being is the nature of the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Eucharist is the culmination of both God's work in Christ and man's worship through Christ and in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Eucharist is the anticipation and union with our eternal life, the sum and summary of our faith. Our way of thinking is attuned to the Eucharist, and the Eucharist in turn confirms our way of thinking. The Catechism asks the question, what is this sacrament called? And as we will discover, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist has many names, each one correct, each one adding a different angle to the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Each name is a different facet of the great gem that is the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. For example, the name Eucharist itself comes from the Greek word eucharistein, a word that means thanksgiving or giving thanks. We thank God in the Eucharist, especially for God's works, creation, redemption, and sanctification. We speak of the Holy Eucharist as the Lord's Supper, referring both to the Last Supper and to the heavenly banquet. Another name for the Holy Eucharist is the breaking of bread, and we must not dismiss this title because it's using the term bread, and as we know, what is received in the sacrament is not bread, but is the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. But when we say the breaking of bread, we are speaking in scriptural terms, a term that must, of course, be filled out by other terms. But when we say that the Eucharist is the breaking of bread, that harkens back to the Emmaus account, where the disciples recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. It also refers to Christ's action in the Last Supper when he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his apostles. It also has to do with the way in which the disciples recognized our Lord after the resurrection. Several times we are told that our Lord literally broke bread with his disciples after he rose from the dead. It is also the name that the Christians gave to their Eucharistic assemblies. In the early church, we are told that they gathered for the prayers and for the scriptures and for the breaking of the bread, a term that means the Holy Eucharist. It also evokes the teaching that all who eat the one broken bread, Christ, enter into communion with him and form one body in him, just as bread, the hearty loaves of bread used in the ancient world, the bread had to be broken in order to be consumed. So too our Lord has to undergo his saving death on the cross in order for us to be saved. The bread that is his life needs to be broken in order for us to be nourished with the bread of angels, the food of immortality. Another term for the Holy Eucharist used by the Catechism is the Eucharistic assembly, or the synaxis, because the assembly in which the Eucharist is celebrated is the visible expression of the Church. The body of Christ, the Church, is the assembly in which the body of Christ, the Eucharist, is made present. Another term, an important term, is the Holy Sacrifice. We speak of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, for example, because the Eucharist makes present the one sacrifice of Christ and includes the Church's offering and surpasses all the sacrifices of the Old Covenant. And because the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass connects us with the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross, we use the term memorial to describe the Holy Eucharist, because it is a memorial of the death and resurrection of the Lord. We would speak in the Catechism also of the Holy Eucharist as the Holy Divine Liturgy, or the Sacred Mysteries, because the Church's whole liturgy finds its center and most intense expression in the sacrament. This term is used fondly by Eastern Catholics, who would speak of going to the sacred liturgy. They would speak, for example, of the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, and they would speak of the mystery of the Eucharist. In fact, the seven sacraments referred to in the Latin Church are known as the seven mysteries by our Eastern Catholic brothers and sisters. The Most Blessed Sacrament is another term for the Eucharist, because it is the sacrament of sacraments, the sacrament that that occupies a central place among the seven, and indeed a central place in the life of the Church. We speak of the sacrament as Holy Communion, because by this sacrament we unite ourselves to Christ, who makes us sharers in his body and blood to form a single body. And the final term that the Catechism uses for the Eucharist is Holy Mass, a term that is dear to Latin Rite Catholics, because the word Mass is Missa in Latin, a word that means sending forth. The sacred liturgy concludes with the faithful being sent forth to live out the mystery, the sacrament that has been celebrated. The Eucharist in the economy of salvation is the next way in which the Catechism treats the Holy Eucharist. The Eucharist in the sacrament, in the economy of salvation, flows from the nature of the Eucharist as the signs of bread and wine. Bread and wine, by the words of Christ and the invocation of the Holy Spirit, become Christ's body and blood. This action, this usage of bread and wine corresponds with the Lord's command, his intentions, do this in memory of me. This action through the Holy Eucharist, the gifts of bread and wine, continue to express the goodness of creation. Bread and wine that are fruit of the earth, the wheat and the grapes, and yet the work of human hands. These gifts, the bread and wine, express the goodness of God's creation. The bread and wine also refer back to the actions of the high priest Melchizedek, a figure, a very mysterious figure of the book of Genesis, whose name is mentioned in the Roman canon because Melchizedek took bread and wine and blessed them in such a way as to prefigure the Holy Eucharist. The bread and wine are gifts that feature prominently in the Old Covenant. We see reference to bread and wine in the Old Testament. They are offered as sacrifices prior to the Exodus, the first fruits of the harvest, the first fruits of the picking of the grapes, as it were, and the harvesting of the wheat. In the Passover meal, the bread and wine receive new significance, the significance of God's protection and fidelity. In the Exodus, God feeds his people with bread, with the manna from heaven, symbolic of how God feeds his people with his holy word. The cup of blessing is part of the life of the people of Israel. In the Passover meal, it is the cup of joy, anticipating the messianic expectation of the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And so these signs of bread and wine that are part of the life of the people of the Old Covenant are taken up by Jesus and used by him. And in fact, when Jesus instituted the Eucharist, he gave a new and definitive meaning to the blessing of the bread and the cup. Even in his earthly ministry, prior to the Last Supper, bread and wine figure into Jesus' life. The multiplication of the loaves on the hillside points back to the Exodus and looks forward to the superabundance of the unique bread of his Eucharist. The water changed into wine at Cana, at the wedding feast at Cana, our Lord's first miracle. The water changed into wine makes manifest the fulfillment of the wedding feast in the Father's kingdom, where the faithful will drink the new wine that has become the blood of Christ. And in a very significant passage in the Scriptures, John chapter 6, the announcement of the Eucharist is present. And we find that even in the Bread of Life discourse in John chapter 6, when the Eucharist is announced, that it is a cause of scandal and division, many leave the Lord because of his teaching on the bread of life. It is the same mystery, And it never ceases to be the occasion of division, the teaching of the bread of life and also the teaching of our Lord's passion. Will you also go away? The Lord's question echoes through the ages as a loving invitation to discover that only He has the words of eternal life, and that to receive in faith the gift of His Eucharist is to receive the Lord Himself. Isn't it interesting that after our Lord in the Bread of Life discourse in John chapter 6, He refers to Himself as the Bread of Life, and He says that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you will not have life within you, that many of His closest disciples leave, and rather than chasing after them and trying to qualify His remarks, rather He looks at His apostles and asks them, "Are you going to leave me too?" St. Peter speaks for himself, he speaks for the apostles, and he speaks for the church, you and me, when he answers that question with the question, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of everlasting life." The institution of the Holy Eucharist. When the hour had come, Jesus instituted the Eucharist as the memorial of His death and resurrection, and commanded His apostles to celebrate it until His return. Thereby He constituted them priests of the New Testament. We find the Holy Eucharist in each of the four Gospels, though the Synoptic Gospels take a different approach from St. John. In the Synoptic Gospels, the narrative of the Last Supper is emphasized, whereas St. John's Gospel emphasizes the Bread of Life discourse. Also, the Synoptic Gospels place the Last Supper as a Passover meal. And yet St. John's Gospel shows that the Last Supper anticipates the Passover, because our Lord in St. John's Gospel is put to death on the cross at the very hour that the lambs for the Passover meal are slaughtered. St. John makes that connection between Jesus and the Lamb of God, the Lamb of sacrifice, the Passover Lamb. Passover is the time that our Lord chose to fulfill what He had announced at Capernaum, that He had to suffer and He had to experience death. In so doing, Jesus gave the Jewish Passover its definitive meaning. Jesus passing over to His Father by His death and resurrection, the new Passover, is anticipated in the supper and celebrated in the Eucharist, which fulfills the Jewish Passover and anticipates the final Passover of the church in the glory of the kingdom. Many times in the New Testament, we find that Jesus escapes the crowd who was going to put Him to death because His hour had not yet come. He was waiting for the hour of the Passover, because it is the Passover that Jesus points backwards to. His saving death and resurrection is the new Passover. "Do this in memory of me," our Lord commands. A command not only to remember Jesus, but to memorialize through the liturgy His life, death, resurrection, and His intercession in the presence of the Father. And this command, "Do this in memory of me," has been kept from the very beginning of the church. The command was kept above all on the first day of the week. We find this in the Acts of the Apostles. Sunday, the day of the resurrection. So too in our day, the celebration of the Eucharist has been continued so that today we encounter it everywhere in the church with the same fundamental structure. It remains the center of the church's life. And as it was in the beginning of the life of the church and as it is now, so it will continue as the church marches forward to the fulfillment of all things at the end of time. Until the church marches forward to the kingdom, she will continue to celebrate the Holy Eucharist until He comes in glory and until we partake of the heavenly banquet. Do this in memory of me. Has ever a command been so obeyed?
Thank you for listening. This program was produced by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Air Maria. To learn more about this program and how you can help us continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.